Hi, this is Philip Meyer, welcoming you to another episode of Talking About Platforms.
And we are Daniel Trabucchi
and Thomas Buganza, the co-hosts of this podcast, where we present and discuss relevant discoveries from the field of platform research.
In every episode, we have a guest sharing with us one of his or her latest insights on platforms, starting from a paper, a project, or a book to make it accessible to everyone.
And with that, let's just jump right into the conversation. Welcome to another episode of the Talking About Platforms podcast. My name is Philip Meyer, and today I have with me my regular co-host, Tommaso Boganza. Hi, Tommaso.
Hi, everybody.
And we have Michael Terscheid with us. Hi, Michael.
Hi, everybody.
So, who is Michael? Michael is the Vice President Composable Process Platform Innovation at SAP and the location representative for the SAP Innovation Center in Potsdam, close to Berlin in Germany. Michael has a PhD in computer science and held research and teaching positions at the Hasso-Plattner Institute, which is also located in Potsdam, and one of the leading software engineering institute in Germany.
Okay, so thank you and welcome, Michael. Well, normally we start with the same question all the episodes, because what we are trying to do here is to put together people looking at platforms. But what we know is that there are so many different perspectives and points of view to look at platforms. And also we know that, you know, if we ask to experts like you, you know, a definition of platform, we might have very different, you know, definitions. So the starting question is always the same. What are platforms to you? What do you mean by platform? So give us your, you know, point of view about it.
Yeah, it's a totally valid statement, right? So platforms, it's very broad, very generic term and very hard to distinguish in the end. And let's start with a metaphor, because I get also a lecture about this stuff, right? About, in our case, enterprise cloud platforms, yeah? And usually I'm a fan of just having a picture on a slide and then tell a story, right? And what I usually show them, the students, is in the end, the picture of an oil platform in the ocean. What has this to do with platforms, right? The obvious one, you have a platform. Okay, sure. But oil? Oil is related to enterprise. So that means business applications in our context, right? These business applications need to run on some kind of platform where you can build your applications, you integrate your different applications, right? Bring them together, have extensions on top of that. And even if you look at the oil platform, right, you have containers where people are living, you have the drill tower, et cetera, right? And things are coming together, and then overall you get one big system in the end. And last but not least, we have also the cloud in the background. Yeah, so in the end, everything running on a cloud like AWS, hyperscalers, etc. Yeah, and this is then okay, now what we are talking about. Yeah, I could also give you more let's say theoretical definitions. Yeah, so from my point of view, we are combining the marketplaces platform together with technology platforms into so-called production and product extension innovation platforms. Yeah, this is also fine, but I really like this metaphor of our oil platform.
And we like it too. Actually, we do something similar. So we start from mind the step between the platform and the train. So the word platform is used in many different ways. So you got the oil platform, you got different type of platforms, and I think it's very interesting what you're saying, because in your example, you can really see that you can build on top of what is existing. So you've got different layers in the platforms. But I was particularly intrigued by the step in which you said you've got the technological platform, and then you got the market, place platform. Can I ask you to tell us something more about these two things and the distinctions between them?
Absolutely. So coming from SAP, no surprise, we have the business technology platform, right? And this is on the one hand, many services, set of services like HANA for data persistencies. We have integration services, we have data mesh, we have event meshes, etc. So everything what you need to build an application on top of that, So, or so-called business services in the end. And these business services then can also be sold to other customers in some kind of a marketplace. Yeah. And the idea is that you as an SAP customer usually have part of our portfolio and most prominently in S/4HANA, for example, as enterprise resource planning system in the end, describing your entire business, right? But usually, even if you're selling standard software, you need a lot of extensions. And these kind of extensions should be in best case side by side. Yeah. And that means on this kind of platform, which also the other applications will run or should already run on top of that. Yeah. Because the difference, as we have done it before, the customer could change everything in the system. Yeah. So we have one all-in-one solution. You could change everything. But for us at SAP, it was quite difficult because you could imagine that even if you sell one product at each customer side, the product looks differently. If you want to give an upgrade as a company, you could imagine that you somewhere will provoke somebody's workflow. And this business, what we are in, at enterprise resource planning, this is a showstopper for an entire business in the worst case. Yeah, and therefore, we in heavily investing into this SAP business technology platform as our common ground for building up applications, and then you can also sell them in some kinds of marketplaces as well.
Michael, before we jump in and also touch on the topic of ERPs, enterprise resource planning, and maybe what's the future in that, how did you end up becoming interested in platforms, and then also like thinking about the like next versions of enterprise resource planning and enterprise information system?
You mentioned my current titles, to be honest, right? And if somebody would ask me 10 years ago, where you believe are you in there, right? So standard application question, right, in a job interview. Yeah. So where you see yourself in five years or 10 years whatsoever, I would answer everything, but not where I am at the moment, to be honest. So I had to get a very, very crazy career in the last 10 years, to be honest. Yeah. Before that, I studied computer science. I've done my PhD in the software architecture group. So I have a very practical background in how to build software. Let's keep it this way, very, very brief. I come from software maintenance, debugging direction. And then 2014, I joined SAP with the promise that what I have done in my PhD, I can make it into more innovation and a product or whatsoever. Yeah. And bringing on the development side, more input to the SAP and what we are building at that time. Yeah. That was the idea. And then very briefly, my manager, Jürgen Müller, now CTO of this company, approached me and we need to support Professor Plattner. So Plattner, one of the founders of SAP, with a Sapphire keynote. And I'm always someone who's looking for new challenges. It was a quite a good opportunity in the end to learn this IT pioneer, very well known. And he's a very nice person in the end. And you can learn a lot of that from him, a lot from him. And therefore, let's create a keynote. I've never done that. Yeah. And there you're preparing a keynote for 20,000 people in front and 100,000 of them online. Yeah. So completely different than giving, I don't know, a presentation as a PhD student, right? This was my very first quite interesting experience. And then he came back and mentioned, very nice keynote in the end, but still the people have not understood how HANA works. So HANA was at that time our new database, in-memory database, columnar, still not a platform, but you saw already some kind of evolution into some kind of platform, because you have a data layer and you're building also applications on top of that, but we are still in this all-in-one application domain at the end, right? Then I've written a book together with Professor Plattner and also with Bernd Leukert, also a board member at that time at SAP. And I learned a lot about the technology in this kind of company. Yeah. And then I got a lot of insights and the wish. Yeah. So before that, I was a very young employee in this company and you say, okay, this company has at that time more than 40 years of experience, history, right? And they know what they are doing, right? And then you see all the different things in this company and say, maybe we could something differently, maybe better, and to be more future ready. And I was not the only one with this wish, to be honest, but there was always this wish, okay, let's rethink how we can build that. And this comes also from my academia career, because as I mentioned, I was completely in software architectures. Yeah. and then have written this book. Then I took over a dedicated team working on other projects for Professor Plattner and also other executives in this company. And you could imagine that I saw a lot of things, right? Not always the best parts, but also a lot of good things as well, right? Nevertheless, there was always still the wish, okay, if I would have more time, yeah, compared to my executive request, then I really would want to do into this direction. And then I had the chance, and this is now where it's really getting crazy, 2020, the chair representative of Professor Plattner at the HPI, yeah, because you could imagine he's a very busy person, and there's always someone at HPI taking care about his entire share. And my predecessor in this case decided for private reason to go to Munich. And there were not so many candidates to take over this role, because you need very good connection to Professor Plattner, a very good connection to the HPI. You need at least a PhD and et cetera, right? And as I mentioned, I'm always looking for new challenges. And this was a quite good opportunity, yeah, because if you have done your PhD, yeah, and both of you know that, right, you have to decide academia versus industry. And for me at that time, 10 years before, or not 10 years, 6 years before, for private reason, I wanted not to go into academia, yeah, because you have to travel and you never know where you end up in the end, right? And therefore, let's go to industry. And now I got the chance to go back to academia, which was quite nice. And also, even if I was not officially a professor, to be honest, right, but in the end, if you're doing the job most of the time, yeah, and you're on the same level as the professor, then at least you get the experience as well, yeah. And this was quite nice. And sure, we had existing projects, again, in memory databases, which is a very, very important topic for Professor Plattner, yeah. But also data-driven decision support, which is more into the AI direction. But also for me, it was important to bring my own ideas into the topic, into this chair, right? And this was a rather large chair with more than 20 people around, right? And therefore, I started the so-called RESET project, yeah? And to be honest, the acronym was there before I had the synonyms behind it. But in the end, rethinking enterprise software engineering techniques. Okay. The synonym makes no sense, yeah, but RESET project, if I talk about that, this was the idea. And then it was already clear right from the beginning, we need to go into a platform. Yeah, we're now talking about 2020. Everyone is talking about platforms, yeah, and we need to change. We are building on cloud platforms. We have already this SAP Business Technology platform. But I also wanted to rethink things. Yeah, and I said, okay, we have a lot of constraints with SAP. And SAP is very good in enterprise and SME, right? But if you're looking at flexibility and the need for agility in companies, where should we look at? At startups. Yeah, because they have a very fast growing. They have a lot of new requirements. And we started with some kind of analysis behind that. What are doing there? Yeah, and then you find out, okay, a startup starts usually with Excel, with Word. Yeah, there are no business processes in the end. Yeah, but then the first time the investor asked, "What happens with my money?" Yeah, that's maybe we need to find that out. Yeah, then they introduce the first solution, rather small things like Dativ or some whatever, right? In Germany, but also there are also Personio, whatsoever. I don't make any advertisement here, but there are smaller SaaS solutions. Yeah, now we are coming more into the direction of a platform. Yeah, which are working. But if you are growing, then as a grown up, these things are also not scaled with you. Yeah, you need the next level of enterprise software in this respect, SME solutions like by design, like NetSuite or whatsoever. Yeah. And then you even grow into international markets, have subsidiaries, et cetera, right? You need enterprise software. And then you're coming to SAP and Oracle, et cetera. Yeah. But always in this kind of evolution of a company, you have a make or break in between. Yeah, because you could imagine that changing your business process or in the end, your IT solutions reflecting your business process, like operations or surgery on the heart, right? Because if something will fail, your business will fail. Yeah, very, very tough situation. And from this thinking and from this understanding, yeah, from our interviews that we had, we said, okay, we need something which is able to grow with the company. And therefore was really clear, okay, we need to think a new kind of a platform on the one hand. Yeah. So first thing, okay, cloud is set. Yeah. So everyone is cloud ready. You can scale, blah, 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 blah. You know that, right? The next thing was, okay, we need to have a new understanding of components. I come to that term again, just in a second, because there was something in parallel, which was also quite important, which is also now the reason why I'm at the head of composability at SAP. But also, one of my claims or hypothesis, as you call it in academia, right, is that we need to understand and see business processes as first-class entities. What do I mean with that? Yeah, for me, if you look at current situation in the business context, you see a lot of stuff around data, semantic layer, transactional stuff. And most business processes are more or less implicit. Or you just have like process mining and you found out, okay, what we are really doing in our systems. Yeah. But it's always just to look into the history. At this time, you can't say what you're doing completely from a process point of view. And this is a very tough situation. Yeah. Because in the end, if you don't know what you're doing, you don't know how to change things. Yeah. And this is also where consultants usually come in and understand how the company is working. How can we map that to new IT systems, et cetera, et cetera. Huge business in the end, but I think we can do that better. Yeah. And one thing and one of the claims is to say, okay, we need business process always at the actual, not at the, only at the target, but only also on the actual side and totally understand what we are currently doing and bring it together better, not only the structural point of view of a company, but also the behavioral point of view on the other side. And these kind of things, then we started to build the first prototype platform at HPI. Yeah. So it was our custom made platform. Can also look that up if you want. And yeah, this showed that our ideas are valid. We also pitched it to Professor Plattner, and he was in the beginning, I don't believe in that. Please convince me. This is fair. Yeah, this is totally fair. And he always has sometimes this mood. Yeah, this is totally fine. And then in the end, after we presented everything, what we found out and what are our arguments, at least he said, yeah, I think there is something behind that. Please continue on working on that. Yeah. And this is the best what you can get in this situation as a new topic coming in, right? As a researcher, right? Going into this direction, that you say, okay, I think we found something. We are not sure what, but we found something, which is good. Yeah. So, and then in parallel, what happens was Gartner. Yeah. Maybe you heard also about Gartner and analytics, et cetera. Yeah. And they came up with the term of a composable enterprise. Yeah. And they have on a very high level a similar idea. Let's keep it this way. Yeah. So split up the all-in-one solutions that we have in our enterprise context into smaller ones. Yeah. And then they are exchangeable as well, also based on a common platform, right? And then if you're growing or have some other needs, we all know what happens in the last couple of years. There's a lot of needs to change the business. Yeah. Either we are going out of Russia or we have a pandemic whatsoever, right? Unfortunately, we have not stable times, but to be honest, we never had stable times. There's always something in change. Yeah. So that's the really truth in the end. And that means you always need to change. And the Gartner term in this respect with composability was, okay, that we can say if we make something smaller, it's easier then to control, to govern it, yeah, and also to exchange paths. And this also need to be on a common platform. Yeah. So that was the very high level abstract view. And now we also see there's a lot of more and more vendors also going into this direction from the business perspective. And SAP started already with that, with the business technology platform, what I mentioned was already started before, right? And now we are coming so that I'm now back after 3 years at the chair, because, you know, Professor Plattner is 80 years old and we decided that he will retire from the academia side, which is also totally fine. Yeah. But that means for me, I rejoined SAP and now I come with this theoretical knowledge. We have already had some teams working, worked on this Gartner vision. Yeah. They came up with their own platform. Yeah. And now bringing these things together. This is our, yeah, big deal. What we have now doing since 9 months. And we are getting better and better, I would say. Yeah, so the results are quite promising. It's a long way to go, bringing all this stuff together, but we are on a good way to evolve the SAP Business Technology Platform from a platform which has dedicated service where you can build everything on top to a more and more componentized platform where we can exchange things automatically when it's needed from this business process point of view, etc. Yeah? So it's a completely more point of view in the end where we bring all these things together in a comprehensive view. Yeah, let's keep it. So this was a very long term, sorry. But hopefully you get better what I have in mind behind that.
I think it's a very fascinating story. I mean, the many things that you said, I was taking some notes, and there are 2 points that actually pops up when I look at my notes. And so one is this idea that, when we talk about platforms, basically people minds get directly to things like Uber, Airbnb, and this kind of thing. So this is in the average mind of people, this is what we mean by platform. And so at least two things that you just said that made me think a little bit. The first one was that, the company already had 40 years behind. So it's not a startup. It's a company with a legacy. It's a company with competencies. And so you also said if you fail, you fail a lot. So there's a lot to lose. On the other side, if you are a startup, there's almost nothing to lose. So you don't have this legacy. So the legacy can be incredibly positive, can be also a burden because it's difficult to change. And the other thing that I was thinking about is that if we look at companies like these, like Airbnb or Uber, for example, basically they are a platform in a marketplace point, from a marketplace point of view. And this is basically everything. They are very great in what they do, but this is basically what they do. So the kind of environment that you are describing us is a little bit different, because in order to activate that kind of marketplace, you got a product on which you're building. So there's not only the platform in terms of marketplace, there's a platform in terms of infrastructure, programs, and so on. And again, I think that this might be, a plus or a minus, because it could be probably, I don't know, it could be a plus because then it's more difficult to attack you, because before, creating that marketplace, I need to create the product. On the other side, it's more difficult because the product itself is less flexible. So as soon as you want to do something different, that can be, again, can become a burden instead of an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So this very long introduction is to ask you a question. Given that we like the idea that established companies can create platforms and can leverage a platform approach, what do you think is going to be, it's more difficult or is more easy for an established company to create a platform if you compare it with a startup without the product and without the legacy? So at the end of the day, you got some plus and minuses, but the final results, the bottom line, where is it according to you?
That's a very, very good question, to be honest. But first, let me start with the comments that you had before, right? So first of all, if you compare SAP with Airbnb, we compare B2C, so business to customers, with B2B. Yeah, so it's a different story. So we are selling to much smaller audience compared to Airbnb. Yeah, so that's the first part. Yeah, so that's important to mention. But still, we could have some kind of marketplace. And then our vision from the composability where we're looking at, to be honest, this is neither a promise for any products out there. Yeah, so this is just a disclaimer. But also, it's still a couple of years in the future, yeah, to be honest. But I have a very good customers where we have a very long relationship. And he mentioned, Michael, I'm not interested in buying solutions. In the end, what I want is a digitalized business process. This is the customer need. Yeah, they need the business process to run their business. Yeah, and they don't care if they have a S4, if they have a Salesforce, whatsoever. Yeah, in the end, the business process counts. Yeah, and therefore, we also want to change a bit the idea that we are selling the big things, but rather selling, the behavior, what you really want and to cover. Yeah. This would also have a lot of changes and implications with respect to consultants and markets and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So therefore, disclaimer, we are far out that. Yeah. But nevertheless, the idea would at least be possible if you have these components that can be exchanged, if they are reflected also to the business process, we are in a completely different point of view. And this is also what platforms have shown us in the last couple of years, and it's independent of the definition. Platforms change the business. Yeah. And that's the most important point. So if you look at Uber, so taxi or cabs, they are disrupted, to be honest. Airbnb, the same. And if you are not playing with Airbnb, you're out of the game. It's quite difficult in the end. And therefore, if you have the platform, you rule the game. So that's hopefully then also our success then in the end, that we can also define how businesses run on these kind of platforms. So if you're looking very, very bold into the future, that's the one thing. The other thing, it's now coming more to your question, what about the legacy? If you're a very major company, let me first start to answer that from an SAP point of view. First of all, we have now 50 years history. We are older than Apple and Microsoft. It's just to name that. So we are one of the oldest software companies out there. And we have a lot of history. We have a lot of knowledge. We have a lot of business understanding and also from an IT understanding. And we would be completely stupid to throw that away and to build something new. This makes no sense. And therefore, I always say that we want to evolve. And that's the important thing. And what we are currently doing is that we have a target picture, to be honest, but also on this kind of target picture, we have step in between, working with adapters, proxies, how we can wrap things into components, so that they then at least feel like being flexible, even if they have not all properties. So there is on our way forward also, so also the idea to go with that, and then also take all this kind of business knowledge that we have in this kind of company to bring that and also to the next level. So this is possible. This is the plus, but also on the other side, it's a bit negative because you have a longer way to go. Sure. If we could build everything new, if I would have 10,000 of developers, we can build everything from scratch. Maybe, but maybe also as well not. Because at least from SAP, we are talking about a very huge system. And assume, we have now the target picture today, which is great. I get 10,000 people that can start immediately to work on that, build up their new system. And we are ready in 5 years. And we have the same features as today. So still on the technologies, that was 5 years ago, very, very future proof. But you know how fast IT is. In 5 years, this will be maybe too late or out of the game to some extent. And this will be a very difficult situation. Therefore, we need to evolve in any way. And we need to bring together what we are investing currently with the business technology platform, with our S/4HANA public cloud, et cetera, to bring that together into the same direction. So therefore, the negative point is maybe not negative, but it's mandatory in the end. Otherwise, you can't be successful in this kind of company. And now coming to the original question. Sorry, it was again a very long answer. With respect to that, what about small companies? And on growing these companies. To be honest, if you're a startup, it's very hard to build a platform from multiple perspectives. On the one hand, from the business point of view, because you are very, very small. Maybe you have some very strong business angels behind you that believe in you, supporting you with marketing, blah, 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 blah. And sometimes they are successful. I forgot the name. It was something with N. Something in Germany where we get very, very nice discounts on food. I don't know. My wife showed me that on the weekend. I was surprised and I never heard about it. They're coming up new, but also you have other platforms there. They're coming up, but sometimes they're also as fast as away as they come. So this could also be the case. It's a very fast game in the end. But anyway, it can work, but it's still, you have a lot of competition. And the problem with the platform game is the winner takes it all. Or mostly the winner takes it all. Just look at the hyperscalers here. At least we have the good situation. That we have AWS, we have Microsoft and Google, not on the same level, but strong enough to compete with each other. And that not that they don't have one winner in the end. That also means for SAP, BTP, we decided not to be a hyperscaler overall. We want to have to focus on our ERP, on our business applications. There we have our niche where we can say, okay, let's invest into that. And our customers from a B2P perspective get a very big value out of that. So from that perspective. And therefore, if you're now a bigger company, you already have your customers. It's more or less easier to bring them on the platform to some extent. But still, you are still in this kind of competition with the other people and bringing them to the platform. Yeah. And I think the toughest part in the end is to bring people or customers whatsoever on the platform. Yeah. And then to be the winner. And then it's always the question, how much competition do you have? Yeah. And already how many customers do you have? And also, what's the benefit to bring them on the platform? Yeah.
I'd like to build on this challenge as an incumbent successful firm. And I think especially SAP, internationals often refer to SAP as one of the digital champions from Germany, even one of the few in Europe, rightfully so. And everyone who worked for, let's say, some bigger company or is working for a bigger company probably has touch points to SAP systems. And in your piece, The Future of Enterprise Information Systems, that you published last year as a co-author, you define composability, and I'm reading this and quoting you, the term composability describes the ability of a system to allow selection, assembly, and rearrangement of components to fit specific and changing user requirements. So, meaning you make it easier for the user, like empowering the user to use the system in their own demands and needs, or according to their own demands and needs. Now, reflecting on my own experience with using SAP software and working at a big corporate, understanding SAP's business model to date, it is not really from a business perspective, not really a bad position to be in if clients need to invest a lot of resources to get the system adapting to their needs, right? So there are service providers that specialize only on that. Big companies have experts only, like that are really experts in adopting SAP software for their own needs. And now you come in and say, maybe composability is the solution to empower the user, make it easier for the user to create their own version, so to say, of our system that really fits to their need. How does these two like fit together? Is there a tension? I can imagine there is, to come through the door with such a, I would assume, disruptive idea to how the system works right now.
Yeah, you're right. I think that the last statement was the important one. It's a disruptive idea from our side. Absolutely. Yeah, because the ecosystem will change. Partners will not do so much consultants, yeah, but therefore they can bring their components and sell it to much more customers in the end. Yeah, so there's a change in business model in there. We are not there yet, to be honest, right? And I'm totally with you that we, as an ecosystem, yeah, we get a lot of money in the end from these kinds of consultants adapting, blah, 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 right? But that doesn't mean that it's right to do so. And if we already have this kind of disruption potential, either we're doing it ourselves or someone else is doing that. Yeah. And I mentioned it, the winner takes it all. And the benefits in the end, yeah, for all sides, yeah, for us as a company, we will lower the TCO in the end. As a customer, you get more than what you really need and you can adapt much, much more. Partners get a completely different and more customers also on their same level and trying things out and then having different components to much more customers. If you imagine nowadays, right, I have an idea or I have one specific product for, I don't know, high management of employees whatsoever, right? And then I found a huge customers, I implemented there, cost a lot of time, blah, 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 half your project, done. Yeah. Okay. Got the money. Yeah. You could imagine now I build a component for this kind of time management and I can sell it to much, much more different customers as well. Yeah. And it's not need 6 months to implement it, but rather maybe a couple of weeks. Yeah. And now you're scaling on a completely different level, to be honest. And this is what I mentioned. If we are not doing it, someone else will do that. Yeah, and this is the winner takes it all. And therefore, it's very, very important as SAP. And this is also what we're doing with the business technology platform that we invest into these kinds of, also disruptive innovations, but also in these ideas.
Yeah. I like your answers a lot. I mean, one of the things that we are studying is exactly you know, what you are saying, what it means to do that into an existing company. So this idea of scaling up at a different speed and the risk if you don't do it, but somebody else is doing it, is very high. So we always focus on, you know, the cost for not doing it more than proving the benefits for doing it. It's a twist in looking at things. So I truly think that we could stay here for hours with this chat, but our time is running away. So typically we close our interviews with the same question, but it is what's next? What's your heart beating for? So what is the exciting thing that maybe you're already working on? So you told us something about the next future, or maybe it's somewhere hidden in a hidden drawer. It's a bad thing that it's in the future. And what is it?
Also very, very good question in the end. As I mentioned, right, we had these proof points from academia, and you know, that's just a prototype. Yeah. So it's taped all over, right? And it will broke completely if you're bringing it to a customer, right? On SAP side, we built two prototypes, a greenfield prototype completely on latest and greatest technology without SAP technology, because we wanted to prove what we can reach in the end, right? Then we had the brownfield approach, bringing these ideas and the academia ideas together on SAP technologies. Both POCs very successful in the end, right? And now we're on a next level, which we want to do this year, is to build the first MVP, first minimal viable product or platform, whatever you want to call it in the end, right? And this is what I'm really looking forward to see, that our ideas in the end will do and make it into some kind of product. And then hopefully, across my fingers, we're already in contact with a couple of our partners who are really interested in then to build on top of that kind of new evolved BDP platform and build their own first components or package business capabilities, how we call that. And then in the end, see your baby to life in the end, right? So first we started with an idea. Yeah. Then we proved this idea that at least it will somehow work, right? We challenge this with the academia side, but also with our customers and SAP side as well, right? And now we understand, okay, let's start to build a product out of it. This team is very eager to do that. This is great. Yeah. And now going to the next step. And also I had to buy in from a lot of from the BTP architects who also see that. And this is what I see as next, yeah, where we first of all want to build the components and also the connection then to the business processes. And then in the end, bringing everything together from the solution portfolio that we have. We have Signavio, yeah, as our business process management tool in the end, and business process mining, etc. Then we just acquired LeanIX. This is very important for us for governance of these kinds of different components. Because imagine if you have this all-in-one solution and you make multiple thousands of components out of it, you need something different for governance. And therefore, it's great to have LeanIX, yeah, bringing that also together. Then we are working very close with the S4HANA public cloud colleagues together, yeah. So also bringing their business knowledge in, yeah, and then building the first products, components, you want to call it, together. And then I hope that we will start flying then hopefully next year. So this is what's coming next. And then we need to onboard even more partners, customers for components and then bringing in the marketplace and then coming to this business part of the platform as well.
Yeah. I really like the different sub challenges that you introduce with the idea of the composability, but also then the opportunities and the value that customers can gain, right? Higher degrees of decentralization, of empowering the users to adapt systems according to their need. I think this is great. And I'm happy to link all the work that Michael, you shared with us, that you have been working on when you were on the academic side of things, and wrote about to give listeners the opportunity to dive even deeper into the concepts that that we only briefly touched in the short amount of time that we have today to learn more and understand better the huge challenges that these ERP systems and changing these ERP systems bring. And also the like interesting kind of thoughts that you also mentioned during today's conversation. For example, empowering users to design their business processes ex ante instead of trying to figure out reactively ex post, how does my company work in the first place, right? So really, I think these are very, very interesting like bits of information to think about and think again and think again. And I mean, you have it in front of you to make all this really happen. And I see that we can come together in a year or so and then together reflect on how it actually went and see how the new SAP platform, maybe then even open with the marketplace, works out. So yeah, with that, I can only say thank you so much for your time. As mentioned, I'm super happy to link your work and also your LinkedIn contact, that if people want to like follow what is coming next, and that they might even connect and reach out to you in the show notes. From my side, again, thank you so much for your time and just the best with your next steps on this absolutely exciting and challenging roadmap ahead.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the opportunity. And yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talking About Platforms.
You can rate the podcast on every major podcast app. This helps us a lot in growing.
Visit talkingaboutplatforms.com to get the links of the short notes, reach out to us, and see the previous episodes.
Hear you in another episode to talk about platforms.